First of all, this morning, I want to ask a question to each and every one of us here. And I don't want to alarm anybody, and I don't want to upset anyone about this question. But here it goes. And I want us to think about this, because that's what my sermon is based upon today. You know, if you died at this very moment, would the Lord place you in heaven, or would you be in hell? Now, I think that if I was to ask that same question in a big auditorium, I think the majority of the people would say, well, I hope it would be heaven. Yet when they answer like that, it indicates to me that they may be lacking confidence on that. In other words, they are not certain. Well, I hope I'll be going to heaven as opposed to hell. But they're just not confident. But I would ask them, but why not? Because who else would know of your standing before God than you? Who would know that other than within yourself? You know, God, He calls us to be confident. That leads me into the title of today's sermon, and that title is Blessed Assurance. Let's turn for the first scripture reading to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this is chapter 4. And I'll take my time as we're going through this so you can catch up here. 2 Timothy 4, we're going to start at verse number 6. And this is Paul talking here. In verse 6 it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know, Paul, after reading that, he knew exactly what his faith was to be. He knew exactly what it was supposed to be. But was he unique in that way? You know, to learn more about this, let's turn now to Hebrews. This would be Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 6. Hebrews 3 and verse 6. And it reads here, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." We are of Christ's house. We are of Christ's house if we hold fast to our confidence to the end. You know, we have to notice we must hold on to the confidence solid, not our uncertainties about things. We have to be solid on what we're holding on to, because we have to hold on to the very end, like it says here, because doubt will creep in as time goes along. You know, just living in today's world, there are doubts that come into a person's mind each and every day, each and every hour. But you have to remain strong. You have to remain focused. You have to know what this is saying right here. We have to hold on, like I said, to the very end. Once again, in Hebrews, still staying in chapter 3, this time let's go down to number 14. Verse 14, it says, "For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." Confidence, without a doubt, is important to our salvation. But you might be asking yourself a question. He says, what is the source of our confidence? What is our source of confidence, Dennis? Well, the first thing is the full assurance of faith. Staying in Hebrews, this time let's go over to chapter 10. And this was in Nick's scripture reading this morning. We're going to be Hebrews 10, starting at verse number 19. There it reads, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an unevil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, folks, full confidence comes from complete trust in God. If you completely trust God, you have the confidence. You know, it is not a quiet trust, but one that we are willing to confess. You know, there are people that are out there that are, you know, they don't know heaven and hell, if they're going to make it or not. But when we have the full confidence, I think we know what our answer is going to be here. Because it's written in the Bible that anything that we do without confidence is sin. Now, I didn't make that up, because let's turn to Romans 14 and see what it says there. I'm in Romans 14 and verse number 23. It reads here that, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. It says it right there. You know, let's take a look at the Apostle Paul, his faith. Let's turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. And I'm going to begin at verse number 8. 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse number 8. It reads there, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For these reasons I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. That is Paul talking there. You know, Paul, we all know the story of him. Paul, he was a battered man. He was a man that was imprisoned. You know, the people that he was working with that day and age had worked hard against his efforts. They didn't want him to succeed. You know, he's also in prison with people that are willing to testify against him, saying that Paul didn't know what he was doing, or this ain't right. Paul is all wrong. Yet Paul, in all that abuse and battered and in prison, is still confident that God will guard his soul. You know, we have confident access to God through faith. This time we're going to the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 10. Ephesians 3, starting at verse number 10. It says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the churches to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. What is the source of some of our confidence? It is the full assurance of faith. Another part would be the full assurance of understanding. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Colossians 2 and verse 2. It reads, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. The full assurance of understanding. You know, I can remember when I went for my job interview at the radio station. And the general manager or the owner of the radio station asked me, he says, Dennis, do you think you can sell? Because I was involved in radio sales. And I says, well, Russ, I says, the only thing that I've sold up until now, I've sold travel, you know, booking cruises, tours, trips, whatever the case may be. I've done that, and I've sold shoes. But both of those are tangible objects. When I was in high school, I sold shoes at the shoe store there in Grinnell. But like I said, they're tangible objects. Russ comes back to me and he says, well, I want you to sell air. And I had to think about that because I was nervous, scared a little bit, because when you talk about selling air, which basically is radio commercials, it's something that you can hear, but you can't see it. You can't touch it, you can't feel it, or anything like that. I was nervous because of what I didn't know. But I came home and I talked to Ann, and she gave me the go ahead and go after it and stuff. And 14 years later, I retired from that. So I must have known how to sell air, I guess, or they would have gotten rid of me long before that. But you just stop and think about the fear. I don't want to say the fear of the unknown, because I wasn't scared about it, I was just nervous because I didn't know how to do this or what to do. But as we grow as children of God, there's no need for self-doubt. As we grow, we shouldn't have any self-doubt. Because God has given us a standard by which we've been judged and that we will be judged. We don't have to guess about it. It's all right in this book right here. We don't have to wonder if we are doing the right things. We don't have to guess, are we doing the right stuff? But we do have to learn that it means that we have to learn what is expected of us. In other words, keeping his commandments. We have to know about that. So I've got another question for everyone here this morning. When we can read what God asks of us and we still have doubts, then have we truly believed the promises of God? When you read this and you still have the doubts, do we still believe in the promises of God? Another source of our confidence, we've talked about the full assurance of faith, the full assurance of understanding. The third one, the assurance of our obedience. We are confident in the knowledge of God if we keep his commandments. Let's go to 1 John to learn more about this. This time, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse number 3. It reads here, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. If we keep his commandments, we are confident in the knowledge of God. And we must not cast it away in disobedience." What's it say in Hebrews chapter 10 about this? Let's go to Hebrews 10. I'm going to start at verse 35, once you get over there. Hebrews 10, starting at verse number 35. It reads, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." And that is being in heaven with the Lord. And what a great day that will be. You know, God helps us in our confidence. We're not doing this all by ourselves. We turn to the Lord. God will help us in our confidence. This time, let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, beginning at verse number 5. It reads here that, "Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you.' So that we confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me?'" Have the Lord with you, who can be against you? You know, I just wonder if you picked up on the fact that in all these verses, that confidence does not come from ourselves. The confidence does not come from ourselves. Because if we go back to when we're talking about the story of the Pharisee, for example, the Pharisee trusted in themselves and not in God. And we know the outcome of that. But they trusted in himself and not in God. You know, in this world today, what can irritate so many people is that when we have confidence as Christians, it shows. And some people just cannot figure that out. Because confidence in God, it gives us the boldness to speak out. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Thessalonians, I believe it's chapter 2. Yeah, chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, "But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God, amid much opposition." We've heard the stories of what they went through back then, that they were laughed at, mocked, whatever, called names because they followed God and Jesus. But the confidence in God gives us the boldness to speak out. You know, Paul, getting back to him, he was bold in standing against error. You know, confidence, that's the big thing when it comes time to praying. Confidence will show in our prayers. Let's go to 1 John. chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and verse 14. It reads here that this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We need to have the confidence to ask because we know God's will and because we trust our God. Staying in 1 John, let's go to, chapter 3, back here a couple pages, starting at verse 18. It reads here that, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. In whatever our hearts condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we kept his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Confidence to receive because we know God's commandments. We keep those commandments and our hearts do not condemn us. You know, I was talking about earlier that there's people in this world that they just are so caught up in the day-to-day routine that they see us and they may even say, you people, you think are the only ones going to be saved. They get irate. They just say, you people of the Church of Christ, you just think you're the only ones that are ever going to be saved. Well, it is the confidence in knowing God's will that we have, and being confident that we obey that will, that often irritates people. When we don't go with the flow, as it's said, if we restrain from doing certain things that co-workers may ask us to do, bosses, whatever the case may be, they may get a little irritated and not quite understand. But they lack that confidence. They lack that confidence. Because they cannot justify their beliefs and actions with book, chapter, and verse, as we can. You know, our God has given us every reason to be confident. And we can have boldness at Judgment Day because we know God's love for us. He loves us. And Jesus, our Lord, understands that what we face in this world, because he was here. He walked the walk, as they say. Let's go to Hebrews 4 to read a little bit more about this. Hebrews 4, and starting at verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's been there, folks. This isn't brand spanking new. It may have a different angle on it this day and age than it did 2,000 years ago, but it's still there. We just have to know that he's with us at all times. And God, we've heard sermons preached on this. He wants us to be saved so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for us. What's it say in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse number 19? Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19, it says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh." God wants us to be saved so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. You know, this is why the righteous are as bold as lions. One more scripture reading, and then the lesson will be yours. This is why the righteous was as bold as lions. Because if you turn over to Proverbs 28, verse number 1, it says right there, "The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You know, I started this sermon this morning with a question. I'm going to end the sermon today with another question. And that question is, will you not set aside your doubts and have confidence in God? You know, if there are those that are with us this morning that are not a Christian, you can become one. Or if you've fallen away and would like to be restored, you can do it by the following the words of the Bible. First thing, you need to hear Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You need to repent of sins. You need to confess Jesus. You need to be baptized. And this last one, some people forget about this, but I hope it was brought up again in the sermon I presented today. And you need to be faithful always. Once you go down in the water, up out of the water, it's not over and done with. You have to be faithful always. You know, if there are those that are present today and are not a Christian, would like to become one, everything is ready for you. Or if those who are in the audience today that are in need of our prayers or to make themselves right with God, we ask that you come forward as we sing the song of invitation that Mark has selected.